all over this house. Would you raise your hands and just invite God personally? I want to be more aware of your presence. Would you make that a prayer right now? As an individual, regardless of your understanding and pursuit of Christ. Lord, I want to be more aware of your presence in this place today. Lord, remove, Lord, just my simple humanity and allow my spirit to rise up in awareness of your power and your glory and your presence in this house. Come on, make those your words in this place, sir, ma'am. Would you extend that invitation right now? I want to be aware. I want my spiritual antenna to be aware, God, of your power and glory, your purity, your divinity in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I say again, as this ministry team has already extended, thank you for being at Apostolic Pentecostal Church today. As was mentioned, my wife and I enjoyed many, many, many in our family years in this congregation. Perhaps I'll say more about that tonight. We are eternally grateful and continue to owe a profound debt of gratitude to this pastor, this pastoral team, and this great congregation. While there is a great pastor and a great pastoral team, while this congregation is loaded with wonderful people, disciples of Christ Jesus, in this congregation and its benefits, you will find tremendous programs to help us and as we grow in our discipleship. But candidly, all of that is merely human and worthless without the presence of Almighty God. And that's the definitive factor. If you haven't picked up on it, this is Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We don't just believe in the book of Acts church, we embrace that truth and practice and pursue that truth, that the Holy Spirit would be evident in all that we do and we pursue. I'm going to share from the scriptures for a little while today. And as we do, I would invite you to continue that mindset. Lord, I want to be aware of your presence. At the conclusion of my comments today, I'm going to invite everybody, young and old, first time here or 1,000th or 10,000th time here, to open up to the presence of God, to respond to God, to invite Him, to allow His Word to change our lives. And so we'll have a time of prayer, a time of conversation with God, a time for individuals to just be as candid, as open, as ordinary, if you will, in the presence of God, to talk to Him and to invite His presence to move in our lives. Turn to somebody beside you and say, that is a brilliant idea. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can be seated. I almost said dismissed. That would have been a short one. I need to remove my jacket. I'm from the Great Northwest, where one comedian observed that everyone there dresses as if a hike could break out at any minute. And I have joyfully embraced that environment. In this service today, I hope to provoke our forward vision and thought and thinking. I hope to encourage our current engagement with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think about our focus and our intent and our surrender to Christ today, particularly looking into 2018. We're still in the early days of this calendar year. And consider in our lives, how will Jesus Christ be involved in my life this year? How will He be involved in my life this year? Two things very simple about that question, it involves two things. Number one, our availability for his involvement. I'll raise that consideration today. But also, it involves our understanding of the truth of God's desire to be involved in our lives. Perhaps you read news like I do, and perhaps you read as I have. At the end of 2017, folks offered up predictions of what might happen in 2018. How many read some predictions for 2018? How many know what a newspaper is? Since YouTube, nobody reads anymore. In USA Today, the sports writers made some predictions for 2018. They predict that all-star and certainly Hall of Fame destined basketball player LeBron James will leave the Cleveland Cavaliers once again, and this time he'll go to the LA Lakers. Sports writers predicted that San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich will announce a run for the presidency in 2020, and that the Warriors coach Steve Kerr will be his running mate. These sports writers predicted that Serena Williams will return to the tour tennis tour and she will win all four major tournaments. While that is probably going to happen in the future, not this year, she's already withdrawn from the Australian Open. They predict that right fielder Bryce Harper will leave the Washington Nationals and join the Chicago Cubs. They predicted at the end of 17 that in 18, Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski will win his sixth national championship and then retire. I have to say I'm a huge Coach K fan, and if it doesn't happen this year, I do hope he wins another championship before he retires. They predict that U.S. women's hockey team will face Canada in the Olympic final, and this time we might win. I mean, who knows, really? They might be right. Or they could be very wrong. Predictions. Forecasts. Recently, I enjoyed the humorous story of a couple of good friends. One of them receives a tip on a stock in a company that is skyrocketing in its value. And so back and forth, they talk to one another until they make a pact, and we're going to invest in this stock. It is growing, and we're going to make a bunch of money. As you might predict in a comedic background and setting, the two make their investments, and almost immediately the stock begins to drop. And it keeps dropping, and it keeps dropping significantly until one of the friends is just so overwhelmed with the loss. He said, "It's time to get out. I'm cutting my losses. I'm selling this stock." So the other friend determines just the opposite. "I've lost this much. It's nearly all gone. I predict it doesn't matter if I lose all of it. I'm in for the long haul, and I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to let it ride. Perhaps this thing will turn around." And don't you know, it did. So much so that when this second friend sells the stock, he quadruples his initial investment, and to the chagrin, of course, of his friend who sold at a huge loss. Predictions, forecasts, projections. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. At best, they're educated guesses. In contrast to predictions, there are proclamations. A proclamation is a public or official announcement, one that deals with a matter of great importance, typically. Proclamations are not promises. A promise speaks of a future benefit, but a proclamation is current. A proclamation is now. In looking into this new year as a disciple of Jesus or a possible disciple of Jesus, rather than predictions, today I would like to share proclamations. From this sacred desk today, I would like to share definitive declarations. I would like to share statements of reality. Some might fold their arms over their chest and say, "Preacher, it's kind of risky, isn't it?" I would tell you, not at all. I'm not proclaiming today based on my human understanding. Rather, I today proclaim the Lord's wisdom and direction. In Galatians 6 and verse 14, it was the Apostle Paul who explained like this, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It was centuries prior to that David, the shepherd king, confessed, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord." In Psalm 44:8, David said, "In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever." Without repentance, without concern, without fear today, in God we can boast all day long. We can praise His name forever. There's safety in proclaiming the Lord of glory. It's in Him we boast all day long. As we look forward to 2018, we focus our attention, our sights on Jesus Christ. There are clear and certain proclamations that we should expect. As I embrace Jesus Christ at the start of every day of this year, there are blessings I can count on. There are things that I know and I can proclaim. Don't steal it from me. Right here in this sacred and holy writ, as we declare and share from this word, kingdom words today, I want us in the beginning of this brief message to know these are not predictions. In this sacred book are not holy estimates or guesses or sacred maybes. But in this book right here, there are proclamations. There are foreknown facts. There are current covenants. And I begin today by encouraging us, thank God for His proclaimed truth that we hold in our hands. It is valid today. Proclamations, not predictions. And there are numerous, as I held up this Bible, some of the quickest of minds in this auditorium. I held up this book and talked about proclamations. Some of you started ratcheting things forward. My God, that Bible's full of proclamations. He's fixing to preach until tomorrow night sometime. We could start and go and proclaim in a variety of ways. But I'm going to point our attention to an oft-read passage. A regularly quoted passage. In fact, it might be that this passage is printed and hung in a frame in your home somewhere. I hope this passage will define our year. If you haven't already memorized this passage, these few verses, I pray that this would provoke us to do so. Having memorized them, I would offer that we would day by day in the days of this year rehearse them in our time of prayer and concentration on God day in and day out. Would you notice with me Psalm 23 and verse number 1? Scripture says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Now you see, the challenge from this point forward is to keep us who know this passage from checking out. Been there, done that, preacher. Very familiar. Oh, this one's old hat today. Being an ornery individual that I am, I dare you to ignore my following words. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd's a person who tends and rears sheep. Are there any shepherds in the house today, tending and rearing sheep? I'm having trouble finding shepherds in audiences. The commitment and the actions of a shepherd have become so ingrained in the English language that in our dictionaries, we have a verb called shepherding. And that understanding is so immersed in our understanding in the English speakers that it means to guide or direct. That if you and I in common language would be speaking about our shepherding our household, or our shepherding a group of people on a tour, or our shepherding those that are under our leadership in the workplace, it means to guide and to direct. In fact, in prophesying about the Messiah being our shepherd, Isaiah penned these words in Isaiah 40 and verse 11. The word says, "He," talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Our shepherd feeds and gathers and carries and leads. Our shepherd is supplier and protector and director. And so the psalmist opens with this proclamation, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's my supplier. He's my protector. He's my director. I want you to know something right now. The divine proclamations that follow this opening all begin with this personal proclamation. Before I enjoy the divine in my life, it starts right here. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to receive the beginning and ending of His blessings right here with my own proclamation. The Lord is my shepherd. My is personal. I believe in the value of specific words. The psalmist did not pen, "The Lord is a shepherd, one leader among many." The psalmist did not pen, "The Lord is the shepherd," recognizing his role but not taking it as a personal commitment. No, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is my supplier. He's my protector. He's my director. The Lord is my shepherd." That's a proclamation of my surrender to His leading and His directing my life. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I submit that the beginning of this year, there's no better way to go forward in 18 than to make this personal proclamation? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord feeds me. The Lord gathers me to Himself. He's my protector. He's my leader. I follow Him. Proclamation like this separates us from other shepherds. This proclamation is important because it's designating my one leading and guiding force in my life. When I choose the Lord as my shepherd, I'm eliminating other shepherds. Instead of allowing various emotions that come and go in my life to lead my life, rather than following human emotion, He is my leader and my guide. Instead of following my simple and ordinary human thoughts and motives, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm no longer surrendered to culture's thoughts and values. Why not? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm no longer directed by just fleshly desires. How come? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Hear me today, if that's not currently the status of your life, I'm proclaiming it ought to be. Divine proclamations of God existing in my life follow only from this result. I follow Him. That's the foundational proclamation. First, He is my shepherd. It intrigues me that once that personal declaration is settled, then divine proclamations immediately follow. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When the Lord is my shepherd, I want this to settle in here a minute. If He truly is my shepherd, then I live in divine contentment. Contentment. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm satisfied. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm fulfilled. The Lord is my shepherd. I dwell in a place of peace and serenity. Another translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need a thing. Another says, I lack nothing. I like the New Living, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Contentment. Contentment. I don't mean to bust your bubble, but this command, this proclamation is not a promise for more money. It's not a promise for more friends, for more power, or for more of anything else. It's not the Lord is my shepherd, open up your bank accounts. It's direct EFTs coming now. Instead, when I follow Jesus Christ, then I already have all that I need. When I declare He's my shepherd, then I'm able to exit the possession-pursuing highway and the rat-running treadmill of our society. When the Lord is my shepherd, my satisfaction and fulfillment are in Him. I have all that I need. In case we might be unsure of the psalmist's meanings, he goes on with proclamations in verse number 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Again, I want you to notice it doesn't say will make me lie down. It doesn't say will lead me beside still waters. They're not promises. They're not predictions. They are proclamations. They're definitive. Hear me today. When I surrender to following Him with everything within me, then this is the way it is when the Lord is my shepherd. This is how we exist when He's my shepherd. Lie down. green pastures, still waters. It speaks about rest. The Lord takes me to peaceful places. Following the Lord as my shepherd, can I remind us today, is not a stressful life. When He's my shepherd, it's not an uncertain life. It's not an anxious life. Rather, life following the shepherd is a life that's calm. It's a life that's refreshing. Fellow disciples, just hear me for a moment today. We need to ask ourselves, am I living in that peace and calm? Or am I allowing myself to be driven by society's treadmill? I just remind us this afternoon of this proclamation of Christ, of our Lord and Savior. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. Can I remind and provoke today, live in the peaceful and calming knowledge that our Savior, He feeds us, He gathers, He carries, He leads. He's my provider. He's my protector. I trust in Him. In this coming year and prayerfully the years ahead, we would enjoy green pastures and still waters. Preacher, I think I'd do that. But I just, you don't understand. I just got so much going on inside of me. My spirit is frazzled. If I could explain it, sometimes I feel like my soul is kind of fractured. There's not a wholeness going on inside of me. Something isn't quite right. Notice proclamation in Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. When I surrender to the Lord as my shepherd, when I place my life fully in His hands, He restores my soul. The Lord provides spiritual restoration to His followers. Some translations say, refreshes my soul. One says, renews my strength. Again, as a friendly reminder today, soul restoration is in the Lord. I know that, preacher, do we? Might I offer that my soul isn't restored by Netflix or ESPN? Can I humbly remind us today that my soul isn't restored by Call of Duty, by Minecraft, or by Madden NFL? Can I humbly suggest today that my soul isn't restored by working more or forwarding my career? My soul isn't restored by natural things, but my soul is restored in spiritual things. My soul is restored in the Lord. I want us to be reminded today, don't expect lesser things to satisfy our souls. Don't allow lesser things to cheat us of the greatest thing. The Lord is my shepherd. When I need to chill, I want to be in the presence of a holy God. I want to sit at the knees and the feet of Christ. He restores my soul. Again, it intrigues me in the proclamations of definitive actions of God. And with restored soul, here's what follows. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. Having done so, He directs me in the right direction. He points me along the right paths. Here's a proclamation for us to live in as disciples. The Lord's paths, The Lord's directions, the Lord's guidance is the right path. It is the right direction. It is the right guidance. When the Lord is my shepherd, He gives me the right answers. When I have the question, what is the right thing to do? Here it is. No tricks, no foolishness, no falsehoods, no guesses. Right here are the right paths. Right here are the right directions. Right here is the right guidance. I preach today, let's let Him lead us. Let's follow in the right solutions. Let's go down the right paths. When I've been restored, let's let Him lead us. As He leads us in the paths of rightness. Now, I want us to recognize that these proclamations I've already shared are true and absolute, even as we receive the next one in verse number 4. Look at this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the most fearful darkness. Again, quick minds are already processing in this great audience. Wait a minute, preacher. I thought that the Lord, my shepherd, would lead me in paths of rightness. Yes, absolutely true. Then what you're saying is, what the Bible is saying is that the right path can also be through the most fearful darkness? Yes, that's true. Because the right direction isn't always the easiest direction. And that's where ease-loving Americans struggle. Because we've embraced in America, things should always be easier. But in the kingdom of God, He's interested in the best things, not necessarily the easiest things. And so while I have said, yes, He's restored my soul, I've followed the right path, it still could lead me in a difficult direction. There's more to it than that. You see, when I'm following the Lord's direction, we also live in a world among many others who don't. We live among those who are following other shepherds and are leading them in other directions. In fact, the Bible tells me that Satan himself is a prince and power of the air in this world. If you will, while I want to follow rightness, I'm living in an atmosphere of unrightness. While I pursue right paths, I'm still dwelling in a fallen environment where there is some unrightness going on. So even though I'm trying to follow Him and letting Him lead me, evil and darkness remain possibilities. Not a probability, but surely a possibility. Having been very candid about that, as the psalmist was and as we receive it today, then again, there are folks thinking and processing, and in our minds we say, all right, so you're saying, whether or not I make the Lord my shepherd, there's the possibility of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, that's true. And accepting that and confessing that, then some would say, then why make Him my shepherd? Again, Americans, we just want things easy. And if I can't make things easy by being a disciple, why would I do that? Well, the full proclamation continues. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The benefit of making Him our shepherd is that He is with me. When the Lord is my shepherd, evil and darkness no longer strike fear in me because the Lord is with me. While there is evil and darkness around, He remains. He comforts me. And that comfort comes from the rod and the staff, the weapon of protection and the weapon of guidance. And I preach today those who may be walking through a difficult and trying time. God, our shepherd, has not left. He's not been defeated. He's not out of the building. He's not overwhelmed by the darkness. Rather, He remains by our side. He continues to protect. He continues to bring comfort and strength and guidance. Don't be afraid. I will fear no evil. You're with me, your rod and staff. They comfort me. Bad things can still happen to good people, but when the Lord is my shepherd, I enjoy His comfort. That comfort eliminates anxiety and fear. The psalmist then changes his analogy in the final two verses. From a shepherd, now he talks as a host. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." In the presence of my enemies. Again, not everyone is following the paths of rightness. But that doesn't stop the Lord's proclamations. There's proclaimed a prepared table, anointing my head with oil, my cup runs over. Each of these talks about special attention in our lives. Not just meeting a meal for my need, but there's a whole table prepared. Anointing my head with oil is a special dignity. My cup runs over is a real cool analogy. There was a big square trough beside where the sheep would be watered, and that shepherd would keep pulling water out of the well until it had filled the cup. But more than that, he would continue putting fresh water in there until it ran over and over with very cold and very pure water. My cup runs over as He prepares for me. I want us to know that the emphasis isn't the abundance, but the love and the interest and the care that comes behind it. Our Lord, the gracious host, lovingly makes certain that we have His best in our lives. You prepare, you anoint. My cup runs over. When the Lord is my shepherd, I can be sure He's preparing tables in the presence of my enemies, anointing my head with oil and the cup's running over. In the final verse of the psalm, the psalmist writes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The New Living says, "Pursue me all the days of my life." See, this good and merciful Lord isn't just leading me, but goodness and mercy are also following me. Goodness and mercy in front of me, goodness and mercy behind me. When the Lord is my shepherd, I am directed by His goodness and mercy, and I am protected by His goodness and mercy. Why is the Lord engaged in our life? Goodness and mercy. Why is the shepherd interested in me? Goodness and mercy. And I remind us today that it's God's intention that goodness and mercy are constant and continual. The psalmist notes all the days of my life. When the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy are going to keep leading me as long as I'm alive and kicking. When the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy will continue to follow and protect me all the days of my life. I enjoy these things when He is my shepherd. So the psalmist concludes, understanding the proclamations of the Lord, he offers another personal proclamation. We see David's individual response to the Lord, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, this proclamation is more than well, you need to be faithful to the house of God on Sunday. This is more than saying, I'm going to go and be in heaven, my heavenly home with the Lord someday. It's more than that. This proclamation is a bookend to the Lord is my shepherd. In verse 5, he transitioned to the Lord as the host in his household. And so this bookend is where dwelling in that Lord's house, I am staying in His place. I am staying under His preparation, His anointing, and His overflowing cup. I am staying and living surrendered to His authority. He sets the direction in His household. He sets the course in His household. And so the psalmist bookends with a declaration of life and remaining in relationship. He comes to a conclusion saying, I am staying with the Lord. I'm not here just to pick up a few perks and then pass on my way. I'm not a fair weather follower of my Lord and Savior. Oh no, I am here to dwell forever this year and beyond. And that declaration, I submit, is a no-brainer declaration. Why would I ever leave? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you stand with me across this congregation? Would you bow your heads if it will help you to focus on the things of God and His Word you've just received? If it helps you to focus, perhaps close your eyes. Consider prompting of the Spirit. Remember, we prayed, Lord, make me more aware of Your presence. In the course of review of a familiar passage, maybe in the hearing of my voice, there are some who would say, you know what, preacher? I'm not experiencing these proclamations. I mean, it's interesting and a bit exciting that you get all wound up about such things. And these aren't happening for me. I don't see it. It's not taking place. I would have every one of us to understand that these are fundamental facts. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The things in this passage are true for all days, for all times, for all lives. So, if divine declarations aren't happening, the challenge is not in the divine shepherd. But the challenge can only be that I have not placed myself in a right position. If I'm not living in, experiencing, and enjoying these divine declarations in my life, then I suggest you and I need to proclaim anew and in sincerity. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. Once again, I need to surrender or perhaps re-surrender to Jesus as my life leader. If I want these divine proclamations in my life, then I must wholeheartedly surrender to Him. While it's a surrender with profound meaning and implications, it can be offered in just a few words. Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, above all others, I choose you. If you would be or consider yourself a surrendered disciple today in this auditorium, would you raise your hands and raise your voice in similar, simple words and just make a declaration new and whole again? Come on, across this house. Jesus, I choose you. Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to give me direction, Lord. I choose you, Lord, above the thoughts, Lord, of my peers. I choose you, Lord, over the history of my family. I choose you, Jesus, Lord, over anything, Lord, this human existence has to offer. I choose you. In good times and bad, I choose you. In easy times and difficult times, I choose you. Come on, let it settle in across this auditorium. Talk to the Lord. As you say those words, as you surrender afresh and anew, the Spirit of the Lord is ministering in this place. That's right. Tears in the eyes are recognizing I am becoming aware of the presence of God. I'm feeling something I hadn't noticed earlier, preacher. You know why? Because you've surrendered to the power of Almighty God. You said, you know what? I made it a prayer. I want to be aware of your presence. And then when I say, I choose you, He acknowledges that. He surrounds us. He invests in our life. Having an atmosphere of prayer and response established in this house, I know that in this place there are men and women of all ages and backgrounds who still continue to feel a compelling of the Spirit. And I'm going to invite you just in a physical response, more than raising your hands and your voice, but in a physical response to walk out of your pew and walk down an aisle and come stand around this altar making a public declaration. This is more than just between me and my shepherd. I want everybody else to know and be aware. I am going to follow Him. I choose His direction. I choose His rightness. I'm in pursuit of His restoring soul. If you feel that way, come on, don't hesitate. Move out of that pew right now. Come on down around this front area. Come on down near this front area. Just taking some steps of declaration. When you get up front, begin to surrender in your spirit and surrender in your mind. Call out right now in an element of commitment and restoration. As you feel the Spirit of the Lord, come on, respond to it. Thank you, Jesus, for your power that I feel right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your love that is sweeping over my life right now. Thank you, Lord, my shepherd, for your glorious Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your holiness that I feel. Thank you, Lord, for your purity that I feel. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion that is evident in my life right now. Oh, Lord, I will call you my shepherd. I choose you above all others. I choose you. Hallelujah. Awesome.